From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this Tuesday, October 8th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
State employee wages in Maine are still below competitive market rates, according to a new study released by the Department of Administrative and Financial Services. It's the latest data point in a long-running dispute between the state and organized labor over employee pay. Ari Snyder reports.
The new report found state government wages increased more than 20% over the last 4 years, but that lags behind private sector wage growth and puts the average mid-range state worker pay at 14% below market averages. Tom Feely with the Maine Service Employees Association says the report shows persistent gaps, though he says Governor Janet Mills has been much more receptive than prior administrations to employee demands.
We do appreciate that she is light years ahead of Governor LePage was in terms of raises for state workers, but it's still, what this report shows is there's still a lot of work to be done.
Following a recent labor dispute settlement, the state agreed to study employee classification and compensation and issue $2,000 one-time payments to state workers. The union is scheduled to meet with the state this month to discuss the new report. A spokesperson for the state says it is encouraged that wage increases helped employees outpace inflation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Versant Power faces a $90,000 penalty for failing to meet targets for answering customer calls on time. The Maine Public Utilities Commission rejected the power company's attempt to exempt several days following a powerful December 2023 storm from its annual customer service metrics. Versant says that nearly 100,000 of its customers in northern and central Maine were out of power, and it was inundated with calls. But Commission Chair Phil Bartlett says Versant failed to answer 80% of customer calls within 30 seconds over a period of 5 months last year, not just during the December storm.
Performance metrics are designed to incentivize improved and consistent performance. And in my view, a waiver in this case would undermine that objective.
Electric transmission and distribution utilities are required to meet customer service metrics under Commission rules and their rate agreements with regulators. In a statement, Versant says it will continue to seek an appropriate balance between providing high-quality service and keeping rates affordable for customers. Maine Senator Angus King wants a congressional watchdog agency to review the adequacy of suicide prevention and response programs for military reservists. Kevin Miller reports.
In a letter sent Tuesday, King asked the head of the Government Accountability Office to pursue the review with the utmost urgency. King mentions last October's mass shooting in Lewiston that killed 18 and injured more than a dozen. The gunman, Robert Card, was an Army reservist who had been hospitalized months earlier because his unit commanders were worried about his paranoia and his threatening rhetoric. But Card was ultimately released and then refused additional mental health treatment. Card's relatives later testified that they tried to get him help but had trouble navigating the programs that are supposed to assist reservists and their families. King is urging the head of the GAO to review the findings of investigations by the Army and a special commission in Maine into the mass shooting. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced today that all public drinking water systems in the U.S. are required to replace lead pipes within 10 years. The announcement comes as public drinking water systems in Maine prepare to meet another deadline and report an inventory of lead service lines to the State Center for Disease Control by October 16th. A CDC spokesperson says more than half of those inventories have been submitted, and so far, no lead service lines have been reported. They say that's likely due to a state ban on these lines nearly a century ago. Maine is slated for $25 million in federal funding to replace lead pipes, but the CDC says some of that funding may not be needed and will likely be distributed to other states. Over 100 people turned out at the Jewish Community Alliance in Portland last night to mark 1 year since the Hamas-led attacks on Israel that killed more than 1,200 people. The event featured a keynote address from Karen Borofsky-Oren, an Israeli woman whose kibbutz came under attack on October 7th. Speaking via video link from Israel, Oren recalled sheltering in a safe room with her children, barricading the door with a bed.
Let's put the bed at the door and put the mattress on the door so it will absorb bullets if terrorists will come into our home.
Oren says 7 community members were killed that day, but she credits her husband, head of a small security team, with preventing further loss. The event in Portland included remarks from rabbis across the state, some of whom drew attention to the Israeli hostages still held in Gaza. Local and state elected leaders, including House Speaker Rachel Talbot Ross, were also in attendance. Portland's professional soccer team has been granted permission to replace the field at Fitzpatrick Stadium, which it will share with local school athletic teams. Under an amended lease agreement, which city councilors approved last night, the Hearts of Pine will pay for the installation of a new plain green turf field. But many Portland high school students, parents, and others said they felt left out of the renovation plans and are disappointed that the Portland High School Bulldog mascot will no longer be painted on the field. Portland resident Frank Gallagher says he believes the city is making concessions for another professional team to benefit from facilities that are meant to be community resources.
You know, we've seen an erosion in public trust. With the expo, the naming rights of the Sea Dogs. Now we're going to take the mascot off the field.
The Hearts of Pine says the existing turf does not meet professional league standards and that the field will be safer for everyone who uses it. The team is scheduled to begin playing at Fitzpatrick Stadium this spring. And in the latest effort to address workforce housing shortages, Acadia National Park officials announced the construction of 28 beds at Hardin Farms in Bar Harbor. The location was identified as a potential site for workforce housing back in 1959 and currently has 8 bedrooms. The National Park Service has awarded the nearly $10 million construction contract to King Construction out of Machias. A second phase of construction is also in the works, which could build an additional 28 beds on site. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the first of several interviews with Maine candidates who are running for federal office this November. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.